Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at Northwest.com.
Clip this. What is it? 27-yard line. He's going to catch it at the 4, second and 5 or 4-5. And Allen will boot out to his right, layer a throw to an open Kincaid. When the ball's on its way, you'll know he's going to catch it. You know it's in the end zone. You can score.
Snap, and it is a blitz. Allen back to pass. Looking down the right sideline for Kincaid. Complete, and he walks into the end zone for a 23-yard touchdown reception. Well, how's that for an opening act?
Right away, you could tell, again, talk about attitude and mindset. I mean, the way we were running the football in that first series, James Cook, the O-line, you could just see we were our pads were in this direction. There was a forward lean on our offensive line and a forward lean on our offense, Josh included. And when he's rolling like that, I know he's vibing.
There's the handoff. The shove is there. And he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen.
You know, early in that week when we talked, me just manifesting it, you know, just putting it in the air and then just trusting God the rest of the way. You know, I go out there, I pray before every drive, and I just play with confidence and play free, knowing I'm protected by God. And he came through, man. I got my first interception on Pat Mahomes.
Pressure coming. Mahomes heaves it down the field, looking for Worthy. It's picked off by Maxwell Hairston.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, happy Football Monday, Victory Monday. Bills win, and it is a Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Number of people tagged me because my prediction on that Dalton Kincaid touchdown. Listen, I did pick the Bills to lose the game. Wrong.
You did.
But I predicted a Dalton Kincaid touchdown, not quite to the yard line. It was also 3rd and 8, and I said it would be 2nd and 5. But
pretty close, though.
But it was the play I thought we would see because he catches these touchdowns where you know, he kind of breaks open, and he ends up catching the ball and sauntering into the end zone, and he did.
Yep.
So Bills win 28-21. I've got a Twitter poll up, Bills fans. Victory Monday. I get the feeling that not a lot of people expected a Victory Monday. Plenty of you did, but they were underdogs in this game, and a lot of people were feeling not so good about the offense and not so good about the defense. I have a Twitter poll from earlier in the week. 65% of like 5,000 people that voted, Joe, said, I don't feel good about either matchup.
Yeah.
And the Bills looked very good in both of those matchups. And I don't know if you want to say dominate the Chiefs, but, man, it was a it's a game script we've not yet seen between these two teams where the Bills are routinely harassing Patrick Mahomes in the backfield.
Yep.
They hit him 15 times. They had him under pressure on 52% of their dropbacks. So it was quite impressive from this Bills team, the way they put it all together. And I feel like it might have been Sean McDermott's most complimentary football win in the history of complimentary football. What didn't they do?
They did everything.
They didn't make a kick.
One kick.
Yeah. That kick would have been the most complimentary football. The doink off the upright stopped the full complimentary football, but
yep.
Everything else worked. They passed the ball. They ran the ball. They stopped the run. They stopped the pass. You know, 4th and 17. Other than that, I'm sure people will want to talk about that play, but still.
Maybe. Like
it's just a banner day for the Bills.
They had is and what was one thing that was picked apart and on purpose? Like, to be fair, like, you know, sometimes it gets labeled as they're being doubted when it's like, no, they're just not doing something. Yeah. And that was downfield passing.
Yep.
Like, that was under the microscope because they hadn't been doing it. And yesterday, the Bills had as many 20-plus yard passes, air yard deep passes, as they had in the previous 6 games.
Yeah. Well, it looks good when they do it.
How about that? Kincaid, Knox, Elijah Moore. 3 20-plus yard completions yesterday. They had 3 since the Baltimore game.
Hmm.
I mean, even that was working. When they wanted it to, at least. The run game worked. The pass defense worked. The secondary looked good.
Secondary looked so good.
The pass rush was that the best day the pass rush has ever had against Patrick Mahomes for the Bills? I mean, I guess statistically it has to be, right? He got hit as many times as he ever has been.
Hit a bunch. He didn't scramble. That's the other thing.
They didn't let him scramble.
They limited him to 1 carry for 5 yards.
Right.
Which is incredible. The season he's had, he's been scrambling quite a bit, and he did not against the Bills.
I'm thoroughly impressed. Yep. I mean, I was one of those people. I did not think they were going to win this game. I kind of thought it was very possible they were going to get smoked in this game. They're going to get rocked by the Chiefs at home. And it looked like in the second half that it might be the other way around.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Chiefs don't convert that 4th and 17, I mean, the Bills were going to be having the ball in pretty good field position up what, 15?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game could have got ugly really quick. And the 4th and 17 does keep it alive, and then it's alive until the very end. But man, like, I couldn't be more impressed with what the Bills did yesterday. And how it relates to the deadline now is interesting, because you might have felt yesterday, some might have, like, I don't know that this team is worth going all in right now the way that they look. And now, like, I want to be careful not to make it super meaningful for this matchup again.
Yep.
They are to play again in the playoffs. But it was a big game for the standings. Like, New England won and Denver won. So the Chiefs, like, that's a big loss for them. They're 2 games back now, and they play Denver this week. That's a huge game for them, too. The Bills, I mean, you want to keep pace with New England. You got beating a team like that, I think, is huge. Because I wasn't expecting it.
No.
Going in, I really wasn't.
Same. The Chiefs offense had been rolling, and they had kind of a brutal day. They just did not have answers. Honestly, I thought Nate laid it out pretty well in the postgame show, and he tweeted this as well, that Mahomes yesterday looked like Josh Allen has looked for the last 3 weeks,
yeah.
Which is a guy that's back there and doesn't feel right, doesn't feel comfortable in the pocket. I know that they're
searching for somebody to get open
right
down the field, which is incredible.
Yeah, but they were so
that
sticky
receiving
in coverage.
Core, like, that might be my number one thing to feel good about out of yesterday. I mean, maybe you can answer a million different things, but their ability to cover those receivers. I know that not all these plays Mahomes had a lot of time, but there were some of them where he did.
I thought he had plenty of time.
And Hairston was right there in coverage all the time. Bishop had his best game as a Bill. Whenever him and Hancock are out there together, it just feels like they're covering space. They're so much more athletic.
Yep.
When they've got a secondary out there of Benford, Bishop, Hairston, and Hancock, it is so night and day different than the secondary they began the season with that had Trey White, Taylor Rapp on it. I think it's totally different, and I think it's part of what helped them against Kansas City.
Oh, for sure. I know the pass rush will get lots of the attention, and justifiably so, but Mahomes, I said this during the week, he's the best quarterback in football once you get past his first read. So, the first read's not there. Now I'm going to make something happen. And the Bills owned him on that. He did not make too many plays off the first read. There were a couple breakdowns. You know, you'll see some. And I feel like you kind of have to expect that. You're playing the Chiefs, they're going to break down. You're playing Josh Allen, you're going to break down. And yet, like, Hairston was impressive. Bishop, the Cole Bishop game, maybe. 2 months
so
ago,
far. Yeah.
2 months ago, who had on the predictions that you would feel like Cole Bishop is one of the top 3 players on the defense instead of the guy who's fighting for the job?
Right. I mean, he is in position. It's a fourth down. How many times on a fourth? Was it fourth and three early in the game for Kansas City? How many times have you seen Mahomes take the snap? Ball comes out immediately. Kelsey's done that little stick route where he jogs 4 yards forward. He turns around and nobody can get around him. So it's just a completion every time. How many times have you seen that play work?
A million.
500 times
yep.
in his career. And Bishop's just on it. Like, he knows exactly that is exactly where that play is going, and he's fast, but he's got the size to get around Kelsey and knock that ball away. I mean, Bishop. There was the Cole Bishop play earlier in the year, right? The end of the half against New Orleans, where he made, like, an insane interception. But complete game, yeah, that was a game. The secondary was just so good yesterday.
Because the Chiefs have beaten the Bills with quick game, and they couldn't get anything going in that department. They tackled well the secondary when they got in space.
Yep.
They hit hard. Got somebody in the chat pointing out and calling out that Bishop hit on Kelsey. Like, man, Cole Bishop
he smoked him.
He lit him up. And Kelsey, you know, he got through it and kept playing. Anyway, it's a victory Monday. Give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We'll talk about what it means, all of it. I feel like, you know, there's apology forms, right? People like their apology forms, and you apologize. If you thought Josh Allen's bad, here's an apology form. Sean McDermott takes over play calling. I know the bigger conversation is the playoffs and all that.
Yeah.
But you want a more aggressive defense. You want them to not be so bend but don't break. And I mean, that's what they were yesterday. They were much more aggressive. They were able to hit Mahomes. They cross him up on a blitz from Christian Benford. They had him looking like he never looked before. The fact that Patrick Mahomes had his career low completion percentage in this game, to me that says a lot. Full boat of his weapons, and their line started to fall apart. There's no doubt about that. Like in Kansas City, that line, they might have concerns again. They lost their left tackle during this game.
Josh Simmons was already out.
Right. So like
Juwan Taylor got hurt. I don't know if he returned.
It started to kind of fall apart on the offensive line, and the Bills were just merciless. And that's probably what Sean McDermott wants, is to get them one-dimensional. What you saw the Chiefs be yesterday is, I think, what McDermott fears the Bills become, which is, all right, they can't run the ball. They have to throw it, and I'm teeing off on their quarterback. That's what the Bills were able to do.
Yeah.
The Chiefs running the ball, there's the occasional Kareem Hunt run, but
not much.
Not much.
Not much.
And, in fact, the last drive of the game, I thought it was malpractice. The Chiefs are out here running on first down, running on second and two. Are they doing it to protect the offensive line and protect Mahomes because he's been hit too much? Maybe. Why? I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, lot to get to. And, of course, my favorite moment of the entire game when Gene Steratore did not know a rule and said, I don't see why not, regarding a challenge.
Because it was an intentional grounding and not a pass interference?
Yes, that's right. I don't see why not.
Is that what happened?
He said, I don't see why not.
I was watching the game without the CBS sound up, so I didn't know he said that because we were like, I don't think you can challenge that for intentional grounding.
I don't think you can challenge
that. Gene didn't know that, though?
He literally said, yeah, you know, you can challenge on a pass interference, and with this, I don't see why not.
He's like, well, Gene, it's not a pass interference. So
right. That
seemed like a Romo, where are you?
That's get him on index that. Card Steratore, who, you know, improvised with an index card that one day, just decided, you know what, if it was me, I'd take some artistic license out there, and I'd say, like, sure, guys, let's challenge it.
Do we think they took it up another level than we went through some of the numbers earlier last week. Like, the Bills defense has performed well against the Chiefs in the regular season. Like, they force a lot of punts.
Yeah.
They get their turnovers.
Well, if I give you the numbers,
but these are career low completion percentage, career high getting hit. Like, is this kind of the same thing, but they took it up another level?
If you want to say that, you can. It depends. Like, do you like the story better or do you like the numbers better? I had told you that in the regular season, the Chiefs' points per drive against the Bills is what?
Two, right. Yeah. And it's like 3.7.
In the playoffs, 3.6. In the regular season, the Bills against Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs score 2 points per drive. Yep. They had 21 points yesterday. How many drives? 10. 2.1. So
in line with
it was about the same.
Yeah.
If you want the numbers, it was about the same. Does it feel better? Did it look better? Did it look like a more sustainable brand? Because what you want to do, of course, against the Chiefs is get – you're not worried about the two number. 2 points per drive of the regular season is not ghastly. It's fine.
Yeah.
What you want to do is translate that to the postseason where you give up 3.6 points per drive, which is horrific. It's like you're playing the 07 Patriots every right. game. You get that down to two, and then maybe you beat that team. So, you know, we saw some of the Bills' vision of what they can be defensively come together. Of course, it's already gone now with Michael Hoyt out with an Achilles injury, and maybe you think he's so important or someone that's going to do his role is so important that the deadline shifts to now go get a Michael Hoyt replacement. Is that Jalen Phillips? Could be. The Dolphins are open for business to sell off some pieces after firing their GM. And maybe the Commanders are going to sell off now because they lost their starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels, to a dislocated elbow in a blowout loss. Their season might as well be over.
How's Von Miller been playing?
He's been okay from what I understand.
I don't think he's someone that's ever come up in our former Bill Future Bill draft.
It's not a terrible idea, but he's not exactly the same as Hoyt. Either way,
right?
Yeah. If that's something they specifically need. The receiver conversation, I think, is still there. And again, maybe even more so because if you think you're great, what's the thing you want to shore up to make sure you have a chance to win it and one thing doesn't defeat you? And for the Bills, the list of positions we would have thought for that, the deadline's tomorrow, we would have thought maybe safety. All right, now that's looking short up a little bit.
Yep.
Corner definitely looks really good because Max Harrison looks like he can play. Defensive tackle, all right, you might have some needs there still. I don't think you have a needed edge, but you could still add a Hoyt replacement. And then receiver's the other one. So what will Brandon Bean do in the next 48 hours? We'll find out. But the deadline's tomorrow, and I think they should consider buying. Then again, the league hasn't really bought. Are we going to get five trades in the league today? The Patriots lose Kayshon Boutte to a hamstring injury. How serious is that?
They could be on a receiver.
Would they act on that?
I saw something about New England and Rashid Shaheed, which
wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, they're throwing the ball down the field. Just give him another guy. Like the Bills yesterday, for all the things they did. And they didn't really need it, but how much contribution did they have from the outside receivers yesterday?
Like, very little.
They didn't really need it because
Dalton
Kincaid is the guy that should be feasting in this offense. But like Coleman wasn't really much of a factor. Moore, I don't even know where he lined up on that big play he had.
In a big play, yep.
But that was pretty much it.
Yeah. It never.
It's fine.
I don't want to say it never crossed my mind, but I don't think it's a game we come off thinking like, oh, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Not every game is going to go that way, and you're trying to protect against all things.
And I do think like part of like yesterday not needing Coleman to have a game, not needing Curtis Samuel or Moore to have more than one catch each, was that when Allen dropped back and you needed somebody to get open and needed somebody to get open down the field, Kincaid was doing it.
Yep.
And that has been happening all year when he's on the field. I don't know what his snap count ended up being yesterday. I know he's still battling like injury stuff. Even Allen alluded to that in the postgame. But this offense, this passing offense, has looked at its best by far this season when Kincaid is the focal point of the passing game. There's no doubt about it.
Well, just to give you some numbers on the passing game, you had longs from four different pass catchers of 47, 20, 30, and 28.
47 from Kincaid.
47 from Kincaid on one play, 20 from Shakir, 30 from Knox, 28 from Elijah Moore, even 18 yards from Jackson Hawes.
That was the flip pass.
Yeah. So you had explosive plays in the passing game. And this is a recipe. If you told me what's going to come out of this game that's going to really test me on, I think you might believe in them, dude. It's going to be, can they pass and stop the pass? That's always the most important. And they look like a team that can pass and stop the pass, not against Andy Dalton, but against one of the best in Patrick Mahomes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Right away, you could tell, again, talk about attitude and mindset. I mean, the way we were running the football in that first series, James Cook, the O-line, you could just see we were our pads were in this direction. You know, it was a forward lean on our offensive line and a forward lean on our offense, Josh included. And when he's rolling like that, I know he's vibing, and we go. It gives us more of a chance to be aggressive on fourth downs. I mean, he's an elite competitor.
Sean McDermott right there. All of our postgame sound available at WGR550.com and in the Odyssey app. By the way, real quick, forgot to tell you, obviously, courtesy Chris Brown of the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You heard a little bit of his calls leading into the program, so wanted to make sure you knew. That was from Chris and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network a little bit earlier. We got a couple Anthony's on the line. Let's start in Long Island with Anthony. Go ahead. You're on WGR. Anthony, are there?
Hey, Sal. Sorry, Sal. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, bud.
All right. So really, really excited about the win yesterday. Team looked great. Demoralized about the Hoyt injury. He definitely made a huge difference with the defense. I loved how the defense was able to match up with the coverages in the secondary. They looked so good and in sync yesterday. And Harrison playing and just chasing Worthy looked phenomenal too. That burst of speed, just so evident that we didn't have that earlier in the season, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, I think it's made a difference. Sean McDermott having more of a hand, it appears, calling plays, although he hasn't officially said he's calling them. He says he's doing the same amount, but I think it's clear that he's having more of a role, whether he's outright doing it all or not. The coverage and the pass rush is marrying together better the way it's supposed to look. And to your point about Harrison having more athleticism on the field, no doubt about it. No doubt. And that play, him running with Worthy, that doesn't show up in the box score. That's not a pass defended. It's not an interception, obviously. It's an incomplete pass. But that is a great example of what a guy like that can bring. And suddenly, your first-round draft pick is looking like a first-round draft pick, right? Where it's like, oh my God, they're getting nothing from this draft class, and now, bam, here comes your first-round pick looking like he should. And in a big game against a team that you drafted him kind of basically to make sure you know, almost, I'm not saying specifically for Kansas City, but yeah, I mean, they matter when you're making those decisions. Alex in Pittsburgh. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
First time caller, long time listener. First, I want to say you guys do a great job covering the Bills. You know, I'm not in the local market, so I rely on you guys. You guys do a great job. My point is, I want to call and say how impressed I am with the defense, even with the injuries of Oliver and Hoyt. I'm not discouraged as much just because the secondary has been picking up. Cole Bishop, I watched a lot of his college tape. I was excited when we drafted him, and he looks like he's coming into his own. And Maxwell's speed is evident. That play when Mahomes threw deep down to was it Worthy, and he was step by step with him. It was just phenomenal. And yeah, I'm excited and just want to hear what you have to say. And go Bills, and thank you again. Bye.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot for the phone call. We got a lot to get to today, and we're going to do sit-up, stand-down, hey, buddy, in the next hour, but 803-0550 is the telephone number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Pat is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, where the Patriots moved to 7-2. What's up, Pat?
Oh, Sal, it's so fun. Oh, you know how people were so loving if the Bills had lost last night, and now all my neighbors, they hate me. I love it. Hey, I think this is might be McDermott's best masterclass coaching game maybe ever. I mean, he did everything right, and this is a testament to Bean. His draft worked. They played their time to bring Harry and Maxwell. They took their time with him, and man, he delivered. And Cole Bishop, second year, getting better. He was a stud. Was he the best player on the field, Sal?
He might have been. Cole Bishop, did you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cole Bishop.
Yeah, he might. I mean, I don't know if he's the best player in the field. Josh Allen was pretty darn special last night.
I
think so. I mean, listen, I think everybody was. Joey Bosa had 5 quarterback hits. You know, Greg Rousseau 4. So I don't want to necessarily single out. I will say this, though, to your point. That was Cole Bishop's best game as a pro. And, Cole, this was a great reminder, okay? A great reminder, Pat. The development is not linear, and we can't make these sweeping judgments on players after one game. The guy had started 4 games last year. He had started a couple of games this year. He had injuries. He has started less than a full season in the NFL. People, Bills fans, wanted this guy off the team. They wanted him shot out of a cannon to the sun, off the field.
I didn't. He's a 2-year, second-year player.
I know. I'm saying.
He's athletic.
I know. And the point is, though, like, this is why you can't be so beholden to the moment in each game. It is. These guys develop. Like, it's professional sports. You can't just walk in and make these impacts. And the injuries held him back. We know that. He needed the reps. He's getting them now. He's not perfect. He is ascending, and he's going to be just fine.
And one other point, thank God college basketball is starting, man. Jeez.
Yeah, I love it, too. I love it.
And the NIL is such a mess. It's still fun, man.
Tonight, right? Opening night tonight, right? Official opening night.
Sure,
tonight.
I believe, right?
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be awesome. I love it, Pat. Thank you very much. Cody in Rochester's up next. What's up, Cody?
Good morning, Sal. Happy Victory Monday.
You got it.
2 questions for you. Number one, should we expect to see McDermott involved more with the defensive play calling, because it's clear as day that since last week against the Panthers and then this week, our defense looks totally energized. They look like they're on task. I mean, there were a couple moments last night where there was some confusion, but I think overall they all understood the assignment. And then the other question was, Andy Reid threw, at least from where I was sitting, it looked like he threw a challenge flag to challenge the intentional grounding play,
yep,
or call on the Chiefs. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't think coaches were allowed to challenge a penalty. Is that correct?
So some are and some aren't. That's correct. That's a judgment call. I guess from what we were told and the way that it played out in real time, that you can't challenge that because that's a judgment call. Okay, I'm still kind of unclear on a lot of the fallout of this, because there are people who say, and I think this has happened before, if you throw the challenge flag in a situation you're not allowed to, you're supposed to get another penalty on top of it. Like, that's a delay of game penalty, which I believe is correct as well. It was tipped. They should have, I think that the proper call was not made on the field, but that happens a lot. And you can't challenge that particular call. Gene Steratore didn't know you couldn't challenge that call, apparently, from the TV broadcast, from what I'm being told. There's still a lot that I'm kind of trying to figure out about this morning to have a better answer, but that was a very, very long, long process and situation that should not have taken so long to iron out.
Right on. I appreciate it, Sal. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't. Gene Steratore said he had never seen anything like that in his career. Andy Reid attempted to challenge the flag, only to be told he couldn't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of trying to figure it out. You know what? Here's the other thing I'll say about all that. I don't care. That team gets a lot of calls and a lot of big moments. The Bills got one yesterday. Live with it. Deal with it. Sports. Corey in Buffalo. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Sal. How are you, man?
Good.
Doing well. I just wanted to touch on a couple things. Offensively, a lot of people, nag on Joe Brady's play calling. I thought he called a phenomenal game yesterday. There was a couple of plays the read option run with Josh, which we haven't ran at all this year.
Yep.
The Cook pass to the flats was a beautiful play design. And then, you know, I'd like to see us throw the ball down the seam a little bit more, maybe outside the numbers, so Coleman stretch the defense a little bit more. But other than that, man, what a game from the offensive side.
Yeah, and I like the read option, by the way, they ran it right at Chris Jones. And Osiris Torrance had a nice block on that. So, you know, you do with that what you will, because that was a really big play, obviously, and a great call. I love the Cook pass as well. It's the first time he's been targeted in the passing game, actually, in a while. And it came at the exact right time when they needed a big third down late in the game. And then the thing about Coleman is he's got to win, right? He's got to win on the outside if you want that to happen. And I still don't know if that's happening. It's still an issue. I mean, this was a tight end game for the Bills. And you know what? Anthony North Carolina wants to touch on that. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Sal, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
And so first off, I want to say, you know, I love how we utilized the tight ends yesterday. The Bills need to do that more often. I felt like the way it went when they were using them yesterday, it felt like how Brady used to use his tight ends all the time. And it's very similar to how Patrick Mahomes uses his tight ends all the time. And I feel like the Bills should do that more often. And then the second thing I wanted to add was I feel like the Bills should add another wide receiver. You know, I think it'd be great if they would go after one, hoping they do. But anyways, I'll hang up and listen. Go Bills.
Yeah, listen, I know this isn't the answer people want to hear. They are going to get Josh Palmer back at some point here. That'll help. But even with Josh Palmer, totally understand, and I agree, they need more help. I've been on the Rashid Shaheed kind of train for a while, and I don't know if that is the answer, but to me, he gives you the elements you need. A downfield threat, guy with the ball in his hands, he's good at rack, yards after catch, which is what the Bills like to do, and he's a really good return man, and you could kind of solve a roster issue right there, because right now, Brandon Codrington's inactive, he's taking up a roster spot, and, you know, Khalil Shakir's returning those punts. So I think Rashid Shaheed would fit there. Olave is the more complete, better receiver. He'd cost you more, though. What receiver's available? Jacoby Myers? Not sure. I really like Jacoby Myers. I've always been a Jacoby Myers fan. Not sure if he's a little redundant, though, of what you have on the roster already. We'll see what they do. Tuesday at 4 p.m. is the trade deadline.
To pass. Looking down the right sideline for Kincaid. Complete! And he walks into the end zone for a 23-yard touchdown reception. Well, how's that for an opening act?
Your Big Energy Play of the Week is presented by National Grid. National Grid is a proud partner of the Buffalo Bills. And that kicked off Dalton Kincaid's second 100-yard receiving day of the season in the 28-21 victory over the Chiefs. Got to get right back to the phones where people have been waiting patiently here. And leading us off in this segment is Dave in Atlanta. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Hope you're well. Great game. Good to see the vets play well, the young guys play well, offense, defense, all that. Just wanted, since it's Monday and I want to turn the page, one coaching point that I feel like is kind of getting missed, and one of you all alluded to the final drive for the Bills and how they, you know, stayed in bounds. And actually, I think if you watch that third and three play, the little swing pass out to Cook, I think he's got to know to put his head down and get as much as he can get. Like, there's no reason to stay in bounds there. You're on the other side of the two-minute warning. Clock's going to run regardless. And I just feel like that's a point that's getting missed a little too often. And, you know, 5-8 yards there, because he could have got it. Makes a big difference on a field goal. And it's just not something that I think is being brought up. It's a big, big miss. Ideally, you know, your coaching staff at the end there is reminding the running back, you know, he should know himself. But, you know, to me, that's coaching.
Yeah, also, to me, it's not coaching. It's player. If he was smart enough and coached up enough to stay in bounds, he was coached up smart enough to get every yard coming to him. I'll say this. I don't think James Cook felt 100% at the end of that game, so he might not have wanted the contact the way he would have maybe early in the game. I think he gutted that game out a little bit, so I think at the end he just wanted to get it over with. But I don't think you can put that on the coaches. I think he was coached up, obviously, to stay in bounds and keep that clock running. It's up to him to decide how much he wants to put the ball at risk, try and get that extra yards, risk a punch out, or take the contact, whatever you want, however you want to put it. That's a player function, not a coaching function in that instance. But I get your point. If he puts his shoulder down and gets it, he might be able, he can get it. Or at least it looks like he could be close, right? So I'm with you on that. The first down there is game over, right? Just like the field goal. That's something to, it's something to consider, and you can bet that they'll have that conversation.
He's talking about the third and three reception?
He's talking about when he stayed in bounds.
Okay.
On the, at the end. Right. At least I think
after the 2-minute warning.
At least he, I think
so he's
he
talking
is,
about
yeah.
the other third down, the third and seven, not the third and three. I got you.
I think so. I think so.
All right. Let's move along to Steve in Buffalo. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First time, long time. Let me ask you, was Babich at the game yesterday?
Well, he's up in the booth. Yes.
Okay. Did you notice that McDermott took over the defensive play calling?
That what? Say that again?
Did you notice that McDermott took over the defensive play calling?
It's very hard to determine whether or not he's doing that full time. He was asked about it last week, and he said we do it together. So he's not saying no, and he's not saying definitively he's calling all the plays defensively. So that could be him just trying to show some respect to his defensive coordinator without, you know, puffing out his chest and saying, yes, I'm doing it. But it's hard to know definitively because Babich is up in the booth. If both coaches were down on the sideline, Steve, it'd be very easy to determine who's calling the plays and who's interacting with the players. But because Babich is up in the booth, it's a little harder to ascertain and know definitively.
Yeah, and there's no question that Babich was calling some of the defenses in that game last night, too. I mean, that I don't know that McDermott did it
full-time.
Yeah, and that it's not going to continue to do exactly what Sean said he was doing. He'll take some series and he'll give it back to Babich on other series and in games and game planning and all that. So, yeah, it's possible that McDermott was calling plays, defensive plays last night. I'd be surprised if he called 100%.
He's always talking on the headset, just so it's clear, Steve. So, you know, what you saw on the sidelines is him communicating. And, yeah, maybe there were some series where he did call the plays. If he did it 100% of the time, I think that's impossible for any of us that are not on the headsets to know for sure.
And I'll say this, too. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, maybe you do, Steve, but –
well, I think he probably likes it.
Fine with me,
based on how the game.
I definitely like it. It reminds me back when Leslie Frazier basically took time off, and then McDermott took over for the last six games, and we needed those last six games. Our defense looked totally different on those last six games. But getting back to yesterday, they showed McDermott with the play calling sheet, the laminated play calling sheet, covering up his mouth. Calling in the plays, but
yeah.
What really made it for me was he made a timeout on the defense, and when he came over there, Bernard went right over to him, and they were talking about the defensive scheme. So I'm sure you're right. They probably tossed it back and forth, and McDermott's never going to throw Babich under the bus.
Right, so, and again, he's the only guy down there on the field for Bernard to talk to because Babich is upstairs. So, again, because of the separation, it's hard for us to know for certain. I know what you're getting at, Steve, and I would venture to guess you're probably right, but we don't know for certain. When Leslie Frazier was the defensive coordinator, he was on the sideline, and when Coach McDermott would pull play calling from him, it was readily apparent what was happening. I think it's much harder to discern now. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying it's harder to know for sure how much of it's happening and how much of the time that it is happening through the course of a game. I hope you understand where we're coming from there. To Jeff in Buffalo next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to, if I may, I just wanted to ask you guys as far as, like, we don't, not to complain, we won, and that's great, but the screen pass out to Shakir, that's a pick six waiting to happen in my eyes. You know, people see it on film, and we do it so much. So my question is route orientation, or would you say route concept, is that something they work around with the talent they have. I mean, of course they do, because you don't see them, you know, nobody running fly patterns downfield. But at the same time, besides Kincaid, you've got to get those intermediate medium routes sort of defined to what the talent you have. And bringing that up, if I just may ask you another question, Chris, where do you feel that Olave? I mean, I'm just out there banging on a nail here. What do you think it would take? And don't you think, my point is, Bills, they pick later in the first round. You give your first round, you pay the guy, and you're not dealing with trying to find a quality receiver at this time of year every year. I mean, just get it done. You see the Eagles do this stuff, and you say, they're up against the cap. Listen, okay, so you go to a guy like Daquan Jones or somebody and say, you know, can we extend you? Can we give you the money now? Whatever they do to get it done, to get a player like that in here, and you're set for seasons to come.
Yeah. First and foremost, regarding the intermediate passing game, I think we saw other guys get involved. The second down completion to Elijah Moore comes to mind. You know, that's an intermediate to deep throw. And then, yeah, we also had Kincaid filling that role on some crossing patterns and stuff. The big third down that he converted, the touchdown that he converted. Granted, he got the coverage man, Drew Tranquil, to fall down on the play, which is why he was wide open. And I think when Palmer comes back, you'll see more of those throws and route concepts designed for him going forward. Regarding your Olave point, I'm not going to disagree with you. You would have a proven, versatile, three-level receiver on your roster, and he would only count $750,000 on your cap for this year. So financially, it's doable. What's the asking price? We don't know for sure. I would keep following up. I think there is a concern to some degree, because Olave does have a concussion history, and you worry about that. I suppose any receiver could have a concussion on any play, but because of his history of concussions, could it be more long-term if he sustains one? And then the other question becomes the remaining money on the contract, which is $16.2 million through the 2026 season. You would have to navigate that as well going forward. But if you feel you can, and there have been reports that Brandon Bean has called the Saints to ask about Olave. So clearly they have not gotten on the same page in terms of deciding what's right for the Bills and what's right for the Saints in terms of compensation. So I wouldn't be surprised if, because the Bills routinely pick at the end of round one, that that's a sticking point for the Saints, because they're thinking to themselves, if I'm giving up what amounts to a number one receiver, I don't want pick 30 or 31 or 32 in the draft.
Or 28.
I want something in the top half of the draft. Yeah. And the Bills can't give them that. And that might be the sticking point. So I'm not going to pretend to know, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Saints are looking for better than that. And they know if they give Chris Olave to the Bills, they're probably going to be in the conference championship game of the Super Bowl.
Well, they might be that anyway. I don't see Chris Olave as – I mean, he's a good player, and you get better players, you're going to play better, yes. Yeah, if you get them acclimated, they learn the playbook, you can start giving them targets and taking targets away from other guys who you don't like. There you go. Yeah, that's fine. But I'm not caught up in that. This offense still has plenty of juice to score 30 a game and 40 a game, as we've seen, if the other team, you know, has a hiccup or anything. They have the ability to – throw the ball short. They have the ability to push the ball down the field, despite the fact that it's with tight ends, it still counts. You know, I know teams, you know, fans want a big number one wide receiver, and they want to see him catch deep balls. And until that happens, you're not going to be satisfied. I get it. I like where this offense is right now because of the fact they're scoring so much, and they don't put the ball at risk. They ran the ball 35 times. They threw it 26 times, scored 28 points with a missed field goal that put them at 31. And they beat the hottest offense in the league coming into the game by what should have been 10 points, but ended up being only 7 points. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm
I'm not preoccupied with any addition to the offense. What gets me going is an addition to the defense. Now that we've lost Ed, now that we've lost Mike Hoyt, now that we've, you know, we're stumbling around with Daquan Jones in and out of the lineup. With TJ Sanders, we're waiting on to see exactly what he could be and what he can be. Dwayne Carter's out of the mix. You got all these guys that aren't there. And just to show you how upside down the world is, I don't want to knock on wood here, but Joey Bosa's the healthy one, right? I mean, coming into the season, like, he'll never stay healthy. He's yeah. So that's where my focus is, because I see the difference in the last couple of games that Mike Hoyt and his presence and his energy brought to the defense, and the tangible evidence of making the secondary that we fielded against the Chiefs, that everybody was like, there's no way they can stay with these guys. All of a sudden, you got Cole Bishop getting four pass breakups, Max Harrison pulling down an interception.
Jordan Hancock knocking the ball down at the end.
Jordan Hancock slapping the ball down at the end. I mean, so that's – let's do more of that if possible. And it's not going to be possible if, you know, if you're losing Mike Hoyt, losing Ned Oliver, losing T.J. Sanders.
Let's go back to the phones and to Hannah in San Diego. What's up, Hannah?
How you doing, fellas?
Good, good.
Happy Victory Monday. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Thanks for doing it.
To be honest, I've only been a Bills fan since 2018 when I moved to Buffalo. My stepdad's been a Bills fan all his life, and then my mom's been married over 20 years. So it crept into my blood when I moved to the area. I moved to Machias, actually straight out of prison after being a drug addict for over a decade. So anybody out there that's still struggling or has anybody in your life, loved ones that are struggling, it is possible to overcome. Keep the faith. And I just want to say last night's performance really put the stamp on it for me, fellas. I am really proud of our defense. I'm really proud of Cole Bishop. I'm glad Max is up and running, and I'm going to predict that he has at least 5 more interceptions before the end of the season. And I don't see us dropping more than shit, guys. I don't see us dropping even one more game. I think maybe we're going to go with only 2 or 3 losses at the end of the season. I got a really good feeling about this one. My stepdad is highly critical of the team, but this is the very first year he looked me in my eyes and said, you know, I think this is going to be our year, and I agree with him. So all I got for you guys. Happy Victory Monday. Go Bills.
Thanks Hannah. Appreciate
it. Send in your
call.
Dollar fine. there's some optimism out there. You look at the Bills' schedule, and she's saying they're going to run the table. Okay, yeah, we all hope they do. Yeah.
It's okay to be euphoric after a win over the Chiefs. I get it.
They got Miami, Tampa Bay, Houston, Pittsburgh over their next 4.
Tampa's going to be a tough game.
Cincinnati, New England, Cleveland, and
Pittsburgh's
Philly.
On the road, and you see what Pittsburgh can do with their defense. Yesterday, they get 6 turnovers against the Colts and beat a team that had lost only 1 game all season. So I want to be just as optimistic as you are, but this is a week-to-week league, as Steve says all the time. And a lot of football remains, hopefully for good things.
Love your optimism.
The Bills going forward.
Love your optimism, though, Hannah. Thanks for calling.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's a big loss. I thought he gave us a certain level of toughness, smarts, knowing how to play the game. We got to find somebody else that's going to step up. And that's, we've been kind of one of those years. We've been, you know, tasked with doing that. And tonight you saw it again. So you can never replace one player. That said, it's about the team. And we got to continue to figure out how we can manufacture wins at this point and just who's next up.
Next up for Sean McDermott and the Bills, team-wise, is Miami. Sunday at 1 in Miami. The Bills are 9.5-point favorites, as I look just moments ago, 50.5. So your implied score there is 30-20.5. Okay. Is this the week to play Miami or the worst week to play Miami? The trade deadline is tomorrow. They've already traded Jalen Phillips. Maybe there will be more. I mean, I guess we'll find out on Sunday. If it's like, oh, you know, sort of no pressure, nothing to lose.
Plucky underdogs have their day, or they just are like pity party.
They made their change at GM,
right,
but not at head coach. The first meeting was close. Dolphins are driving late, down 7. The Bernard interception. So, I mean, this is a good-looking game on the schedule, and the Bills have dominated the series. I don't know. This is one of those, you always talk yourself into something.
I'm gonna trust that it's a great time to play the Miami Dolphins. I just think everyone there has got to know the coach is staying at least through the season is what the owner is reported to have told him. I'm sure everybody there is thrilled about that. I'm sure he's got his supporters there, but within the team, I mean. But I'll just bet guys are just going to be looking out for themselves. At this point, if I'm a Miami Dolphin, I wouldn't expect much more. So, I don't know. I mean, could Tua have a great day? I mean, I thought he'd have a good day against Baltimore, and he didn't. So, there's no reason to think he couldn't have a good day. But I think they're toast. So, I'd be surprised if that's not a comfortable cover for the Bills, honestly. It's only Monday.
You wouldn't take 2-0.
I didn't say that.
Not yet. I mean, it's a little early for that question. It's always too early for that question.
Yes, I guess so. But they've got to be cooked. So
I don't know.
You'd have to be the contrarian's contrarian. I feel like I'm daring you now to think Miami is going to have any real pulse.
The only thing I think is any point spread is created by there being pressure on both sides to whatever extent it means to get to a number like this. It's not 17. It's 9.5.
Right.
It's up a point from yesterday. But you know, it's a division game. The first game was close. I mean, I'm not trying to talk you or anybody else into the Dolphins.
Anybody else they trade, I don't think is going to move the point spread very much. I mean, you know, maybe if Waddle. They were to remove Waddle from the mix, that maybe that would be a half a point added on. But I don't, any other defenders that they're going to move. I don't think. Like, I saw something about Mika Fitzpatrick today. I'm sure they'd love to unload Bradley Chubb if they could. I don't think any of that moves the line, but you know, it's more for Joe and Sam later in the week.
Trade Waddle to the Bills. Revenge game immediately. Sean next. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
It's great. You guys really touch on a lot of great topics. Just the first question. Do you think the Bills have any shining stars still in the guys that they have right now? And do you think it's time for Buffalo Joe to fill the shoes and get a starting spot? Love your show, guys.
Okay, thank you. No, I think Joe Andreessen is being utilized appropriately at this point. I still think they've got, as the defense was really good yesterday, I'm not sure what's up with Bernard. I just do not feel like that is where it had been earlier, and maybe that was just like that was new and exciting, and there were big plays right away, and you know, you just referenced the Miami game and there was a huge play in that game by him, but I feel like down in, down out, he's not had a very good year. But even with that said, no, I don't need more Andreessen at this point. It's a good story. I think he's filled the role and good for him. I also don't know. I mean, I guess this sort of dovetails with the previous question. Is there someone else hiding out that they can suddenly be struck by lightning that gets on the field and like, oh, look at this guy? I don't know, man. I feel like Hairston, Hancock, I don't know how much deeper you could expect to plumb the roster and find people that can serve roles for you. So I think they're there. I think that like this is who they are. They got to me. That's why I want to go add someone. I don't think Javon Solomon and or Landon Jackson are going to give you the juice that Michael Hoyt was giving you, rushing the passer. I think you're going to have to go outside the organization if you want to find that somewhere else. I mean, Solomon's had some moments, but Hoyt just there was a lot of juice there.
Thanks, Sean. Here's Rick next. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, Rick. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to kind of ask your perspective on picking up the receiver, because everyone keeps talking about getting a receiver. When we got Amari Cooper, we didn't do anything. We really didn't use him to his potential, I felt like. What do you guys think about that? Should we even waste that time?
I don't think it's wasted time at all. I know how it ended up going with Cooper. The production was not there. I think the player was not what he had been earlier in his career, and that's convenient for me to say now because he never played another down of NFL football after finishing out the season here with the Bills. So it may have been that they just jumped on a guy who had been a number one and he was done and they didn't know it. But their offense still did function. They got their 30 points a game down the stretch. I mean, they scored. So I would never, because a trade didn't work one year, say I'm not doing that again. I mean, I wouldn't trade for the same player again, and hopefully you can avoid getting someone that's that far on the downside. But I would always be looking. You're trying to win the Super Bowl. A caller already said it. Philadelphia is the defending champs, and they went out and added pass rush already here a day before, you know, more than 24 hours ahead of the deadline. So I think if teams are going to do that, I need to be one of them. I mean, I don't want to just buy something just to buy something because I have money and I went to the store. It's got to be the right guy.
I've done that.
We've all done that probably. But I'm always going to be looking. I do think, though, I've said a few times, and I guess I should keep saying it because we have been on receiver for so long, and I have, with this deadline in mind, been on receiver. I think defensive line, defensive tackle, pass rush outranks it now as a need.
For me, it's more just been quickly not getting to a point where I thought Bean would do it at receiver. I think they've planted their flag, and it would just be so weird if they did. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Wouldn't have to look at it that way. Oh, well, you know, things change, and we decided this is what we need, and the price changed on this player, whatever. Like, it wouldn't have to be weird, but it would be strange. I've just never really been expecting it, and maybe we'll still get it. We've got a day here to find out. Dennis is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. So, you know, thrilled about the win. Defense, I felt, looked great. Best I've seen them look in a long time, and I was actually kind of thinking that was going to be the reason we didn't get where we needed to go, was because of them. But if they play like that, I feel like my next point, I feel like, is something that I'm just really confused about, I guess. So Dalton Kincaid, I think, is probably our best offensive weapon that I would consider as a pass catcher. Mm-hmm. I think Shakir is shifty. You know, he's good after the catch. But as far as, like, a pure, like, serious weapon, I think it's got to be Kincaid. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but, you know, if you look at other teams' best weapons, they're on the field 80% of the time plus, right? But, I mean, Jefferson and Chase and these guys, they don't come off the field. He had a 38% snap share yesterday, and the week before that, he had a 22% snap share. He had 14 snaps against Carolina, and he had 22 snaps last night. That's, I just, you know, I hear a lot of callers saying, do we have the answer in-house? Like, I mean, out of 22 snaps, he caught 6 balls for 104 yards and a touchdown. I mean, what are we doing not getting him on the field? He's got to be, he, right now, in my estimation, he is the answer that we have in-house. And for whatever reason, I mean, Jackson Hall is a nice story and all that, but he's out-snapping Kincaid. Yeah. I don't get that.
Well, it's because they want to run it, and they like the heavy sets that Hawes is a part of with Knox, and Kincaid is largely not. I mean, when they go two tight ends to run, that's what they're going to do. I happen to agree with you, Kincaid has been their best, he's been their most effective, most efficient weapon catching the ball. You know, Cook is another matter. He's a running back, and he barely gets targeted, but he did have one big catch yesterday. So Kincaid has been their most efficient, effective pass catcher. He's nursing an oblique injury. He had his season last year undone by multiple leg injuries, and I think as much as his snap count is a function of running the ball and Hawes and Knox being featured in those sets, I think it fits nicely with them trying to guard against overworking Kincaid. I think he's so important right now that they want to max out his production by, I know this sounds crazy, minimizing the opportunities for something to go wrong, for him to get hurt. I really think load management is what we're seeing with Kincaid. Because if they could trust him to play more snaps, I think maybe you'd see it. It would eat into the other stuff a little bit, at least. But I suspect that that's load management.
Ange, is it you?
Hi, guys. It's
Hi.
Me.
How are you?
We're good. I'm good. Thanks for taking me on.
Of course.
I just had a comment about, you know, I know that this was not the January, and we haven't beaten them in January. But I think this game was a little more than what you guys are portraying it as. Kansas City wanted this game. Kansas City may not make the playoffs. And I know you can't have a playoff game in the middle of the season, but this was pretty close to a playoff game for Kansas City. And we beat them. So they didn't do the things that they would be expected to do to win a playoff game. Did they hold back because it wasn't a playoff game? I don't think so. I think they tried as hard as hell to win the game, and we beat them. So it means a little more than just, oh, yeah, it's Kansas City. Call us back in January. That we may not even have to worry about Kansas City in January. Maybe we ought to be thinking about how are we going to beat New England in the playoffs or how are we going to beat Denver in the playoffs. So give them a little credit. It was a great game. It was a great game to watch, and we beat that damn Kansas City.
I'll tell you what I liked the most yesterday, Ange, and I would say the Bills' performance would be second only to this. That patch on the Chief jersey.
You know what? I love it. I used to love the Chiefs because of that. It's terrific. I wish every AFL team would wear it. But, you know, after being beaten ahead by them for so long, I'm starting to dislike them.
You can't see it the same way anymore.
You're not as sentimental about the patch that you helped create and make
real. It's a great patch. I like to see it. I used to cheer for them when they went to the Super Bowl because you could see the AFL patch in the Super Bowl. But we got to beat them. We got to get past them.
Is it too late for the Bills to start wearing one?
It's never too late. They could wear one with RW on it for Ralph Wilson. I think it would be terrific.
If you want help promoting that, I'm here for you. I'm sure Bulldog would join me.
Great.
Thanks, Ange.
Good to hear from you, man.
All right. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Eric Wood at 4. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in My Lowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.